Welcome to Cartoonist Kayfabe. My name's Ed Piskor.
I'm Jim Rugg.
And I'm Tom Scholey.
And we're going to be looking at the forthcoming animated classic, Faust. Faust number one. But first, Jimmy, what do you have?
You can join me on patreon.com/JimRugg, where you can find my out-of-print, hard-to-find zines and mini-comics. You can see a lot of my original art. I'm showing off Super Mag because Ad House Books announced that they're shutting down shop after 20 years. I think this is the last book of mine that is still in print at Ad House. So if you want to pick up one of my comics, highly recommend Super Mag. You can get it from Ad House Books directly. Posted a link or a picture last week of a stack of these going out to customers after we had shown it off on last week's episode. So let's sell all the Ad House stock that they still have of Jim Rugg Comics, and Super Mag is the one to add. So pick that up, adhousebooks.com.
Tom, what you got, bud?
Here's Jack Kirby, The Epic Life of the King of Comics. The name says it all. Learn all about Jack Kirby and how he created all the comics we know and love. I also did a series called Fantastic Four Grand Design, which is kind of a complimentary companion piece to this. And I am on Patreon doing new comics, so you can check me out there. Just search my name, Tom Scholey. And I have a YouTube channel called Total Recall Show.
It's a heck of a wheezy you drew right there,
man. Thanks, yeah.
Red Room Comics are a direct lineage of Faust Comics and Outlaw Comics of the late 80s, early 1990s. Murder on the Dark Web for Fun and Profit is the name of the game in the Red Room universe, and there are two issues of Red Room out on the stands right now. Here's the thing. Every issue, completely self-contained, man. So if you see an issue, grab an issue, and if the first two are completely sold out when issue three comes out, don't worry. Just grab it. It's all good, man. You're going to get a complete story. Here's a good spoiler for you, man. It's sort of very appropriate with the comic we're going to be looking at today. If you want to read the comics ahead of time, you can hit up my Patreon, patreon.com/EdPiskor. $3 gets you the archive there. Have well over 100 pages of comics up there as we speak. New pages every Tuesday. And you can get to all of these links in my link tree in the description below this video. All right, guys, so let's crack open Faust number one. We have two versions. This is the original North Star version, a second printing with that David Quinn signature from 1989.
That's a heck of a signature he's putting on there.
It is, man. And
looks like he's writing some extra letters. Look at that thing.
Yeah, I was looking at it and I was like, well, that's definitely not a T. And it kind of looks like that. So, you know, it looks like there's a B.
Cool to see that one. I don't have the North Star edition. I think it came out in 88 is about when this comic starts.
Yes.
So the tail end of the black and white explosion, maybe even after it started to implode.
Rebel edition is 1991 and has an additional three pages, perhaps to tie things together a little bit, because you don't see our guy for quite a while. And this first issue, you know, it's introducing concepts, but...
And it is not messing around on that cover, man. From the get-go, it lets you know the outlaw nature of what you're going to get. That head is just dripping with blood.
We interviewed Viju, and he said that he never used color or painted before he started doing these covers, man. And you see the growth from 88 to 91. But it's still a way different approach. It's like drawing with paint.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that I dislike it.
Right.
So we could go a couple different directions with this, man. Like, my sort of thesis after reading this is that I think that McFarlane gave this thing a good read. And it was absolutely a cult classic comic book at the time that Image Comics started. And I feel like Spawn is a palatable version of Faust in many ways. And look at that red cape, by the way.
Well, I mean, comics was such a small world even back then, you know.
Especially back then.
Yeah, so, you know, but like even in the black and white boom when things were proliferating, it's still like not like today where there's just like, you know, too much to keep track of. So it had to, you know, crossed his path.
This is one of those quintessential outlaw comics, man. One of the Mount Rushmores of outlaw comics. And one of the things that you need lots of rendering. You need lots of black on the page. You need blight and urban decay. And we get that on page one with a little bit of a John prostitute trick situation happening with this writer fella. Here's the thing, though. Like, I've been going down a Jim Shooter rabbit hole the past week and really have been focusing on just the clarity of storytelling. This comic is the opposite. Mm-hmm. In many, many ways, man. David Quinn is introducing us to a lot of disparate kind of concepts and ideas and characters. And at the end of this thing, they really don't tie it all together. I think there's, 15 issues to the Love of the Damned storyline told over 20 years. So in a situation where you're definitely going to be lagging issues, you really want to try to make every issue a complete sequence, something that you could hang your hat on. We don't really have that here. It's like all prelude. And I say all of that because I'm not sure that we even get the name of the writer guy.
I will, a couple points there. At first, you mentioned, McFarlane probably was aware of this book. Maybe one of the few mainstream guys who might not be aware of what else is going on in comics. Seems like he goes out of his way to say he doesn't read anything else except the sports page. But speaking of the black and white stuff, like, this stuff was head and shoulders above your standard black and white explosion comic. So I think a lot of pros did know about this book because of that reason. As an artist, Vigil's up there with anybody, I think, from a technical standpoint, manipulating these inking tools of comics. Certainly a standout. In terms of the narrative, I agree 100% with the oddness of this narrative. Like, this was a confusing book for me when I got hold of it as a kid, and I'd reread it and try to make sense of it. And there's so many of these voices. Early computer font being pasted in and stuff.
Stretched and skewed wide to fit the
really
the
bizarre,
caption.
But it kind of complements the overall narrative in terms of it being just weird, like a bunch of voices on the page. I think that's intentional to some extent.
Yeah.
And it does create an unease. Like, it just feels like I'm not comfortable in any of these narrators' heads or train of thinking. Everybody seems like they're on edge. I'm never totally sure whose voice I'm hearing from scene to scene. Often they overlap and you'll have a couple of narrators on the same pages. And it just really created like an uneasiness as a reader. And it still lingers, like now I know this book much, much better, but it still has that like, just these people all feel, I don't know, man, like they're going to meet a bad end.
Right.
Even the ones who are like our protagonist and the ones that stick around for 15 chapters, none of them feel safe. And I think part of it is that nervous energy of the narration.
If you take a look at the original art, do you think that this is pasted up and that text is like green with dots? With dots?
Yeah, I would also accept completely faded and it's just like white paper there. Don't think they were getting archival ink out of their dot matrix paint printers.
Yeah, I would guess that's like one of those like thermal printers where it's like the heat activates the paper, so then the whole thing just turns gray.
So we go from this writer guy who's a local journalist jumping into a drug war.
I have one more point on the letter.
Yes.
Legacy of Silver Wolf, right?
I think so.
Chris Silver, out of Sacramento, I believe, with Tim Vigil, where Vigil gets his start, and it was some of the early computer fonts being pasted onto artwork. I feel like that's how they learned to do this.
Let's remember this name, Kim Richardson, whenever we go back to take a look at our old issues of Victim.
Jeez. All right, that'll be episode 47,000 of Cartoonist Kayfabe, so stay tuned.
All right, man. So there is an ongoing drug war in the town. Now we need to hang out with a couple of junkies. We gotta illustrate this drug war, and we have it with these like commando. What would you call them, man? They look straight out of a James O'Barr. This looks like that IO comic, not to be confused with Tim Vigil's EO comic.
Jeez, wow.
Well, and like, isn't that one of the guys from Black Flag? Didn't you draw that guy?
I mean, that looks like Black Cross, man. Like, that looks like Chris Warner shit. But they are from a rival drug crew. Vigil does some cool stuff, man. Like, I like this mist. Like, that, he sells that really well, man. No hard edges.
Look at your paste-up of the screen on the word bash.
Oh, yeah.
That wouldn't be any fun to cut out.
Oh, I don't think that would be tough. Just cutting these little bits out would suck.
I'm so lazy about it now. The idea of cutting, anytime I cut screen tone now, it's just like, just do it digitally.
Sex is dirty. As they paint the walls with this fella. It has the vibe, like this Vigil into the musculature, all that stuff, clearly from a place of like mainstream comics. But there's elements of like Spain Rodriguez in here. That's a name that really I don't remember coming up in any conversations we had with him. Certainly Corbin did and would dabble in this kind of space, but there's a lot of influences floating around in here. And I think that even like Michael Golden, we've been doing Michael Golden coverage. I see a lot of Michael Golden in this stuff.
You know, I said Black Flag, but I meant the Misfits.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That guy. Oh, totally. Yeah, yeah. He's got the devil lock going for sure, man.
You're starting to see the black, the outlaw blood. You know, that solid black when everything is just so rendered and gray looking on the pages and that blood just pops.
Half a head, man. Pilly caps. All right, we cut to, you know, Todd Klein. You know, let's create a mandate in comics. You know, we could change the medium, Jim. And the mandate will be that Todd Klein gets to use cursive on the comic page.
These are hard to read.
Kim Richardson needs to stick to that thermal printer. Because also, you know, this is like a literate, like, you know, a doctor, psychologist, and this looks like psycho cursive, man. Like, let's get a handwriting expert to crack that open. Oh, look, here are the influences on these manila folders, man, and Michael Golden is one of the names.
I always loved this whenever that panel. Being able to see the list of names was always fun.
She's cracking open. One of the guys that was in the psych ward, John Jaspers, is dead. But this is all stuff that we have to put together because we know the comic. She is in there. She's raiding the files. She needs to take a look and see what really went on with this guy. She's not trusting the guy who's running the psych ward.
So here we have some John Jaspers artwork on the wall.
Yes.
Are we referring to, like, the artist now, or are we still referring to the deceased mental patient / vigilante demonic killer?
Here we have some more John Jasper artwork, man. Because we're getting yet another voice. And, you know, she's talking about she lost a friend, all of this. So Jasper's is dead by the time this is happening. But on the very next page, very much alive. This is an exact kind of example of the thing that you said many, many times on this channel, Jimmy, about lots of ideas and maybe not the facility to get them all on the page at the moment, you know? So many of the black and white boom comics and the stuff that came from kind of like First, the stuff that came from First or Eclipse that wasn't from, you know, Jim Starlin or some studied professional would have these elements of you can tell the creators know exactly what's happening in their universe, and they're trying to be sexy about the way they slide it out to the reader, but it really does kind of become kind of confusing, and it says a lot about the professionalism of, like, the mainstream cartoonists who are even just able to make a story get from point A to B in a clear way.
Once again, it kind of fits this comic because our main character is struggling with mental illness.
Yeah.
You know, like, it does create a mood of oddness. You get a little bit in this panel at the bottom of the page where you get to see all those fractures of the different ideas and characters that we're going to see as the series progresses. But they lean into that at times in future issues, too, where you're seeing, like, skulls and demons and stuff floating around these characters' heads, and especially Faust's head, and kind of whispering into his ear things. It's something I like, but it definitely contributes to, like, what is going on, especially in issue one.
We introduced our journalist. We introduced our love interest / psych doctor lady who was in love with John Jaspers. Now let's get them in the room together, man. They're at a restaurant. You could tell that the guy's a writer because he has that little white shock in his hair.
Is that what does it? He and Doctor Strange?
It's exactly what does it. As a writer, he uses a lot of cliches, like talking about the souffle is sinfully delicious. She ain't buying that, come on, man. And things accelerate from this point.
This is fun. He's describing this woman that he was sort of taken by her appearance, but when she blows him off, then it's scratched out, and it's like skinny, stuck up, another castrating bitch. So it's like right in the middle of the caption, you get to see that little bit coming out. So kind of fun writing piece.
And another confusing bit is that he was the stretched computer voice, like computer caption voice for like the first 6-7 pages. And now he's this voice.
Until they ran out of paper.
Right. Or they needed to get more panels on the page and couldn't have that skew any longer.
This looks like a Ditko, kind of a Ditko panel there. That was one of those names in the filing cabinet. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't think of Ditko as being a big, obvious influence on this art, but that feels like a nod to Ditko.
You know, Gil Kane was a master of the montage like this too, man. So, and his name was on that file those file folders as well.
Here we go.
Let's introduce our guy.
Yeah, this was my first time reading this comic, and I found it pretty much illegible. I didn't know what was going on. I couldn't understand any of it. I did enjoy, like, the technique and stuff. But then it's like, once the guy with the cape and the claws shows up, then it's like, okay, now I understand what's going on.
This panel makes it all very clear.
Yes. Yeah. Tell you, man. Tim Vigil's whole life changed when he went from one claw to two.
Now, I guess, is this sort of like the Adidas three stripes, where it's like, so he doesn't get sued by Marvel, it has to be two claws at camp? If it were three, then they jump on him about, like, Wolverine?
Listen.
Asking for a friend.
You might not know too much about Tim Vigil comics if you never read Faust, Tommy, but he had this comic called Grips before this, and Grips didn't have these little red gimmicks on his head, so he just had the red face mask and just one claw.
Mm. So he's working his way up.
Grips' alter ego is that he draws comics. So I feel like Alan Moore may have lifted right out of Grips to do his Superman run, his Supreme run.
Yeah, and this guy, he's a fine artist, so it's way different. You got your eviscerations, black blood in full effect. Not bad with that liquid texture. Not easy to do, man.
No, this is way harder than it looks, because I've been chasing this kind of blood effect ever since I got hold of these comics. I've always been impressed by this once I saw it, and it's very hard to draw. I was drawing some splattered blood yesterday.
That feels like a McFarlane way of depicting splattery blood.
He does good liquid like that as well. And this is all drawn blood. Like, yeah, none of this is splattered.
It's not like he's taking a toothbrush or something, which is what I would do if I had to do this.
Page after page. See, this is what we come to Faust Comics for. Always an interesting choice when we get the four tiers of panels, because I think of Vigil as such a drawer and wanting to get so much, like, hyperbole on the page. When you get those four tiers, you know, that's Golden Age comic storytelling, man. And talk about McFarlane, like, this piece with the guy getting his head thrown through there, man. Give Vigil a job in that Spawn universe, man.
Well, I think, like, the only thing that he needs, the only adjustment he needs to make to be in that sort of, like, Image universe is, like, every now and then take something like this and make it a double-page spread.
You know, You're probably right. I was going to say, like, less storytelling clarity would move towards Image. Love the black in the eyeballs in this close-up of Faust's face. You don't see that very often. Once in a while, we'll talk about shading in an eye. But, I mean, like, he's going, like, black eyes. Yeah. You know, the white part of the eye, mostly black in that drawing. And really good for, you know, a demonic, possessed, evil look.
Still taking these dudes apart, man. Kisses a guy
after he cuts his head off. Kisses his severed head.
I don't know, like, the last, like, mainstream modern DC comic you guys have read, but, like, what DC does, you know, for the past couple years isn't too far off from that. They've kind of grown in, like, a Tim Vigil direction. So it's like you got Joker cutting off the skin off his own face and hanging it, and that's like a cover, and then it's like a little mask that kids can buy. So it's like, you know, like it took them a few decades, but they caught up eventually with the Faust approach.
This is a pretty clever page, man, where we have the thought balloons. We have the thought balloons of all the players involved, man. Faust said a couple of words that kind of triggered some past memories.
And with song this lady. Lyrics.
Yeah, some James Brown. You see, we got the copyright notice right there. So that's her and her deceased lover, John Jaspers. We got the writer guy about to accept his Pulitzer or some sort of journalism award thereof. We have the severed head thinking about his funeral with all of his punk rock buddies showing up.
So stupid.
And then Faust with just mania.
That Faust one's really cool because at a glance, it looks like a photocopy effect that we've seen in some comics, but you look closer and it's all drawn.
Yeah.
So kind of neat to see that. And I wonder if he's channeling that photocopy blur effect.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like the way you would do that organically, I'm not saying Tim Vigil did it this way, but, you know, you do some version on a piece of paper, like make the Xerox, light box it, and just ink with the flow. And then Faust splits. Here's your mixture of Batman, Daredevil, Wolverine, all at once, with the shadow on the building.
The Faust signal. Send up the Faust signal.
I mean, it's a winning combination. You know, just, yeah, some Batman and some Wolverine, and you're ready to go. And ultraviolence.
I love that, like, you just get the word real. You know, that's the writer trying to sum up what the blood looked
like. It was
like.
Real.
And at the end of the North Star edition, we got some, I think this is Joe, Vigil?
I could not tell you. This is the first time I'm seeing this edition, so.
Yeah, I think this is Joe Vigil artwork. And this is the era of the Gorblimey Press, Barry Windsor-Smith, like the portfolios are happening, man.
Yeah, this would be at home in like a Dungeons & Dragons module.
Totally. Yeah, I'm going to guess that that's Joe doing some stuff, man. Oh, you know what? We can't leave this North Star edition without talking about this back cover here, man, because as I was looking at this and studying this, this is for Rex Miller's Chain Gang, which is a great series of books, the slob books, drawn by the Vigil brothers, ultimately, but this piece is not drawn by either of them, and when you study this, I have some ideas about who drew this, and you'll think I'm nuts, man, but I think when I say it, you might see what I'm saying. Take a look at this. Who do you think drew this thing? Take a look at this hatching.
I mean, what, Gerhard?
Oh, no.
Dave Sim?
I think fucking Joe Sacco from Yahoo days drew this piece. Think about the Yahoo comic. He had the thick line like this, this kind of cartooning, and that is Joe Sacco hatching right there in his, like, later period, man.
Hey, it could be. I have no idea. That's such a strange piece. Like, nobody, you know, like, from a figure standpoint, it's hard to reference anybody from that because people don't draw figures like that very often in a comic. So, maybe?
Kayfabers, dig into this. Get to the bottom of things, man. We have a big audience. My guess is Joe Sacco drew this thing, and it can't be further from Safe Area Garage, duh, man.
Man, I hope it's Joe Sacco.
I really
hope
really it
is. That'd be really fun to mention to him.
I really hope it is so much, man. Anyhow. Animated series coming to a streaming service near you, man.
Talk about more and more. We're just in the simulation.
So, I mean, beyond the Faustian deal of Spawn, you have the love interest thing. You have the urban blight. I feel like McFarlane was doing a palatable superhero version of Faust when it came to Spawn.
Well, he, like, we saw all those, like, old pre-Spawn, Spawn drawings and things, and it was Starlin, it was kind of sci-fi, it was Adam Warlock, so somehow it got from that space opera world into, like, a horror superhero world, so, you know, something happened.
McFarlane's an entrepreneur, man. He identifies things, he finds a vacuum, he fills the vacuum, and I think the formula was no kids could get their hands on this, but kids like blood, kids like chains, kids like spikes.
And hell.
I'll give them their version.
Sprinkle some demons into that superhero mythology. kids love the Bible.
Yeah, I mean, just like that glove and stuff, that very spawny.
Yes. Anyhow, kayfabers, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit the bell. We'll notify you when new vids are available. Jimmy, what's out there?
Join me on patreon.com/jimrug, where you can download my out-of-print, hard-to-find zines and mini-comics. You can see a lot of my original art. You can see the process by which I make Street Angel, Octobriana, and all the other comics I make on patreon.com/jimrug.
Jack Kirby, The Epic Life of the King of Comics, and check out my YouTube channel, Total Recall Show.
Red Room Comics in the Wild, direct lineage from these old Faust comics. You could order the comics on the Fantagraphics website or at your local comic shop. They come out every 4 weeks. Or if you want to read the comics ahead of time, hit up my Patreon, patreon.com/edpiskor. $3 gets you the archive there, way over 100 pages worth of comics up there as we speak. New strips every Tuesday. I do want to say, Uncle Dave, Uncle Tim, let's get a collection of all this stuff out there, man. And, you know, time it with this animated series or whatever, man. The people need to see the resolution to to Faust. Those last couple issues, hard to find. What else, Jimmy?
Subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at the links below this video. You can also find Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts and merchandise at the links below this video.
We have our own Outlaw comics that we need to put pen to paper to. Jimmy, give them marching orders. We're going to be on our way.
Read more comics.